Covering the crew all season long on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
So, tough one, as everybody is probably listening to this on tape. But if you are here live, welcome in. ESPN Milwaukee tonight, of course, the Bucks over on WTMJ for the playoffs. Not a fun one to talk about tonight here. Hopefully it's better down at Fiserv Forum this evening to talk about for our friends Justin Garcia and everybody down there. Brewers fall 2-1 tonight to the Pirates. They've dropped the first two of four at PNC Park. They've lost back-to-back games for only the second time this year. And some folks in my Twitter mentions are acting like the sky is falling. It's not, but we've got plenty to break down from this one. Craig Kishon is going to join us once again this evening once his television duties are done. We're also going to have Pat Murphy comments a little bit later. We'll have a few highlights. Weren't many, but there were a few highlights to talk about in this one. But we do want to hear from you as well. The number, if you are listening live, 1-800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. Brewers fall 2-1. Let's just go ahead and jump right into the three most important plays from today's game. The big story, of course, Tobias Myers making his big league debut. What a moment. His fiance, his mother, his grandmother, all in attendance. Everyone's so excited. His first pitch in the big leagues, right? A big moment.
The first time as a major leaguer, and first pitch to Andrew McCutchen is hit in the air down the left field line, inside the pole and gone. Andrew McCutchen, homer to lead off the bottom of the first yesterday. He does it again today. His third home run of the season and the first pitch of Tobias Myers' career.
Hang with him, buddy. I will say, though, he rebounded extraordinarily well. Literally the first pitch of your big league career, and it's a solo homer by maybe borderline Hall of Famer Andrew McCutchen. So the last Brewer to allow a home run on the first pitch ever in the big leagues was Alberto Reyes in 1995. The home run was hit by Robin Ventura. So I guess like kind of, you know, hey, another great player that hit the home run. Hopefully, I would think that Tobias Myers hopefully should have a better career, I would hope, than Alberto Reyes' career. Granted, you know, played 13 years in the show. Nothing to sniff at there, but Tobias, from there on, was honestly fantastic. I would be very thrilled with his start if you told me that was going to be his line coming into today. Five innings, four hits, one run on that solo homer, four strikeouts. He threw 83 pitches, 58 were strikes, and he also had nine whiffs on the day. But the Brewers' offense, once again, is stuck in neutral without Christian Yelich, and we've got more data to back that up and talking about the run totals from the last couple of days. However, they did have an opportunity brewing in the third inning. They get the bottom of the order aboard. Joey Weimer singles in the left. Bryce Terang singled in the right. That was his first hit off of a lefty all season long. The Brewers have men on the corners, nobody out for the top of the order. But Churio struck out. Then it was William Contreras at the plate.
Falter with a 1-1. Chopped right back to the mound. Breaking for the plate is Weimer, fielded by Falter. And he'll get Weimer in a rundown as he flips to the catcher, Bart. Running back to third is Joey. Keeper Ian Hayes now throws it back to the pitcher, Falter. And Falter tags out Weimer for the second out of the inning.
Josh Maurer's call here. So you gave the pickle long enough for William to get to second base. But now there's two outs and maybe a base hit could score two runs. But no, Adames would ground out to short on the very next pitch. The third most important play from today's game was when the Brewers finally broke the shutout. At this point, they're trailing 2-0 thanks to an RBI single from Connor Joe in the sixth inning. That was off of Jared Koenig. So it's 2-0, and Bailey Falter is still rolling at this point. Gary is in there to hit lefties, and boy, did he ever.
2-1. Sanchez, a high drive out to left. Racing back is Sawinski. Bye-bye, baseball. Gary Sanchez with his second home run of the season, and the Brewers are on the board. It's 2-1 Pirates.
114 miles an hour off the bat, and that ball was a no-doubter. Crushed, exactly what he needed to get things going for him. Obviously, the Brewers would fall 2-1, but I think the most important stat from today's game, we could sit here and talk about the pitching, we could sit here and talk about what went wrong and all this. Look, the Brewers 1-6 in the order tonight, regardless of the pinch hitters, you know, like Jake Bauer is hitting for Churio. I mean, shoot, the leadoff spot had the Golden Sombrero, 0-4 with 4 strikeouts. 1-6 went 0-22 with 2 walks. You are never going to win games in Major League Baseball going 0-22 with 2 walks. So there's really no need to harp on it. That's your number. That's what happened tonight. This offense is missing Christian Yelich, to say the least. That's not an excuse for what went down today, but at the same time, you look at it, Bailey Falter pitched very, very well. He was commanding the strike zone, throwing a ton of strikes, and the Brewers let him get into his groove after that runners on the corners and nobody out situation that he wiggled off of in the third. After that, just one other base runner until the home run by Gary Sanchez. And Bailey Falter maybe turned in his career best outing today. He was fantastic in this one. Again, 1-800-990-3776 is the phone number. 1-800-990-3776. Let's get to the phone lines now. Dale in Oak Creek, you were live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Hey, thank you for taking my call today.
Yeah, you got it.
Can you hear me? Okay, so right now I feel disappointed that the Brewers lost. But with the record 14-7, they're doing pretty good. But they lost one game. But how did they lose one game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think today. Go ahead, Dale.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, like I said, it was the offense. You know, they went 0-22 with 1-6 in the order today. One extra base hit, the home run by Gary Sanchez. You're not going to win games going 0-22 with your most important hitters. It's just that simple. The offense is ice cold without Yelly. And, you know, this is a series that going to Pittsburgh in a weekday, weeknight series, 4-game set. There's something about Pittsburgh on weeknights, man. I'm not trying to say it, but I'm going to say it. Look, there's not much energy in the ballpark, and you got to create your own energy. I'm not making an excuse, but there is a little bit of a sleepy attitude. I mean, the Brewers have only allowed 3 earned runs in these 2 games, and they've lost both of them. Generally, you're going to win more games, but, you know, as simple as it sounds, to Trent Dilfer it, if you will, you got to score more runs than the other team. It's that simple, right? So it's one of those things that, there's no deeper analysis here to deliver, right? Appreciate the call, though, Dale. Thanks for calling in. But there's no deeper analysis to deliver. They didn't hit. And I don't want to sit here and be like, oh, my God, change everything. They're missing their key player in Christian Yelich. Maybe, on those singles by Jared Koenig, maybe Reese could have made the play. Maybe Ortiz could have made a play. But even then, it's contact. And it doesn't matter if you gave up hits. You're not scoring runs. You were behind the eight ball for the second straight day once again. Craig Kishon is going to be joining us in just a little bit. Also want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Before we hit our first break, I do want to get back to the phone line again. 1-800-990-3776. 1-800-990-3776. Brian out in Tulsa. You're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Back for another season, Dom. Always thanks for taking my call. I'm not concerned, but if we don't hit tomorrow against the guy that's coming in with an 8.3 ERA, he's 23, and he gave up 3 home runs to the Red Sox in his last start from what I saw on ESPN stats. Then I'm a little concerned. But, yeah, they're missing Yelich. He was on a roll. He's on my fantasy team, and now do you have an update? Are they saying if it's getting any closer? Is it improving? Is he getting treatment? I haven't heard an update. So it's just, otherwise, right. There's no cause for alarm. This is just one of those things that we go through. We're faced the Pittsburgh Pirates have good pitching all of a sudden because we're going to face Kelner on Thursday. So, I mean, they're one bad pitcher out of 4. So good pitching is going to trump good hitting any day of the week. And we've been strong on the road. Now we just got to find our groove at home. And that's not going to be easy this weekend with the Yankees and the Braves back to back. So it's going to be a challenge, but I'm not panicking yet, but it would be nice to see a little more out of the offense. But it's, you know, when you get good pitching, that's going to happen. So,
yep. Yeah, agreed entirely there, Brian. Thanks for calling in. On the Yelich front, no, we have not heard an update. I saw him hanging out by the batting cage. Talked about it in yesterday's program that you know, Pat Murphy was asked, like, hey, is there any sort of timetable right now? And the answer was a no, but Murph kind of turned around. So I'm trying to be a glass half full, trying to be a glass half full. But I saw Yelly around the batting cage today, but did not, you know, I have not seen or heard of any baseball activities anytime on the horizon right now for Christian Yelich. On that note, appreciate the call, Brian. Also on the fact that, yeah, it's fine. It's April. No need to panic. Look at, again, it's April 23rd. They're 14-8 now. They're missing maybe their most important player in Yelich. They still don't have their closer in Devin Williams. They now are down two starters in Wade Miley and D.L. Hall. They had a kid make his major league debut today, give up one run, and get the loss. Hang with them. That's the way baseball go, in the words of Ron Washington. Also, quick update we got today as well from Jacob Junis. He was back with the team today, evaluating him for a concussion after the scary moment yesterday. During batting practice, he got hit in the back of the neck and was had to call an ambulance to take him off the field. Never lost consciousness, was alert and responsive, but it was all precautionary. So it was a scary headline, scary photo, but Junis was with the team today being evaluated for a concussion. And we are awaiting the MRI results on Wade Miley's elbow. The Brewers put him on the IL yesterday due to elbow inflammation, which you hold your breath on. Going to take a breather, our first one of the show. We got plenty more to talk about. Even though it was just a 2-1 game, there are some highlights and some box score stuff that I want to note on today. Brewers fall 2-1, 1-800-990-3776. Again, 1-800-990-3776. You can text in, you can call in, come hang out with us tonight here on ESPN Milwaukee.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, Brewers fall 2-1 tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. The best they can do is a split in Pittsburgh. Let's go down to box score here real quick as we await Craig Kishon's arrival here on the program. He'll be here shortly. Pirates, 2 runs on 7 hits, no errors. Brewers, 1 run on 3 hits, no errors. The Pirates left 5 runners on base. They went 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. The Brewers left 4 runners on base, but they went 0-for-4. With runners in scoring position. The winner, Bailey Falter, he's 2-1. The loser is Tobias Myers in his major league debut. He is 0-1. The save to David Bednar on the third straight day. It was only the second time in his career he's pitched in 3 straight games, so I would imagine he is definitely down tomorrow, maybe even on Thursday as well. And then they would probably just hand it to Aroldis Chapman and many of the arms that they have available in this Pirates bullpen. 2 hours and 14 minutes in front of 9,000 fans. That does not include dogs, as it was Bark in the Park night at PNC Park. I've already talked about the negatives. No one had multiple hits. I do want to shout out Bryce Terang again. And I had got a text a couple of days ago during the St. Louis series talking about Bryce Terang and figuring out what if you put Bryce in the leadoff spot as opposed to Sal Frelick. I don't want to say it's just going to be a plug and play and everything is going to be the same. You're going to see different pitches when you're in the leadoff spot versus when you're in the sixth spot, just because of the sequencing is different and the at-bats are a little more fine-tuned because he's got William Contreras behind it. But then I started thinking about it a little bit more. That's maybe a reason why I especially want Bryce Terang in a leadoff spot. Against righties, of course. If Bryce is leading off, somebody who's got speed, somebody who's clearly shown an ability to put bat to ball this season. He reached base again twice today. His batting average is up to .319 on the season. He's got an on-base percentage of .375, and he's now a perfect 12-for-12 in stolen bases. I wouldn't mind giving it a little audition. And it's not super foreign to Bryce Terang. He played a lot of leadoff spot in the minor leagues, but I wouldn't be opposed to it as we welcome in Craig Kishon. I know I'm throwing you a mine here real quick, Craig, but I'm just kind of trying to find some positives from this game and a 2-1 loss. And Bryce Terang continues to make me smile with the way that he's been playing baseball.
Well, yeah, I mean, this guy is just, he's just a rock, man. He might steal Bill Schroeder's nickname away before his career's over with. I mean, what more can you say about him? He is just fun to watch. It's a pleasure watching him steal bases. It's exciting. You don't know exactly on what pitch he's going to go, but you know he's going to go, and he's perfect so far in the season there. And I think the other thing, and we've kind of touched on it, you know, from show to show a little bit, is just the improvement in the confidence that he has from a year ago, and then physically looking, you know, more mature and developed as a major leaguer should here right now. So, and then his defense is just, you know, I can't wait till he wins his, the first of many gold gloves. I hope it's as soon as this year.
I hope so as well. He made a really nice play to his left earlier in tonight's game. Another guy that, you know, he's been kind of getting beat up by some of Brewers' Twitter. And I just want to give him a quiet shout-out here, Gary Sanchez. He obviously hits the bomb. He hit a couple of balls hard today. I also want to reiterate, it's really hard to go from playing as much as he had in last year in San Diego to now essentially playing maybe twice a week at most. And today, they knew he was going to catch, given that a lefty was on the mound, and give William a half day off on his legs. But I imagine William will be back behind the plate tomorrow, and then Gary will probably catch again on Thursday for that quick turnaround after the day game, after the night game. But if Gary keeps hitting the ball hard like he's been doing, again, today, let me just pull up his exit velos from today real quick. I mean, there is value in having this guy stick around for a little bit longer. He flew out. That one wasn't hit hard. But then he had the hard ground out at 108 and the home run at 114. You can see what the Brewers see in this guy.
Well, one of the things that I wondered about actually is just the fact that this offense has gone into a slumber. We talked about it on last night's show. Now they've got five of their last six games. They've scored two runs or fewer. Guy hits a home run for you, makes it a 2-1 game. Why not make him the DH tomorrow night if Contreras is behind the plate? I mean, I think you have to consider when it's been a full week of really not a whole lot generating right now, giving a guy like Sanchez another chance, give him two starts in a row, let his bat go out there and see if it plays, you know, for six, seven, eight straight opportunities out there. That's kind of how I'm looking at it. I mean, why did they sign him? They signed him for his power and his offense, and it is incredibly difficult, as you said, Dom, to generate any kind of consistency when you just don't get consistent opportunities.
Let's start breaking down one of the last positives, and then in the next segment, we can start putting on our negative Nancy hats again. Again, the number is 1-800-990-3776, 1-800-990-3776. Tobias Myers, I mean, obviously it's not his fault, to say the least, but to go from first pitch of the big league, such an exciting moment, oh no, that's gone, to then hunker down and his final out of the day was against that guy that took him yard, Andrew McCutchen, for the first pitch that he threw. He got him on a fastball to end the game as well. I loved what I saw from Tobias Myers today. Am I declaring him a Cy Young or an ace of the staff? Absolutely not. But he could be exactly what the Brewers need. 5 to 6 innings, a stabilizing force of saying, like, all right, you know, you're not going to throw a million pitches, but if you can get us through 5 or 6 innings, you're going to have a home in this rotation. And it looks like he might be sticking around at least 1 or 2 more times through.
Well, I mean, let's face it, since he came over to the Brewers organization before the 2023 season, I mean, he had bounced around. The Brewers are his fifth organization here right now. And obviously the Brewers have a very good recent history of finding pitchers that, I don't know if you want to say that they have struggled to find themselves in their career, or maybe were higher draft picks and they haven't even had a sniff of the major leagues yet. They've had a good track record of turning these guys around. And I think maybe with Myers, when they signed him, what they saw in him was, this guy is going to be a project. We're going to turn him into one of ours. And what he was able to do at AA last year and then at the AAA level was fantastic. I mean, he obviously worked hard to get here now. I'm sure he had a decent spring. I hardly even paid attention to him. I know you did, Dom, a little bit, but and then he has a good AAA start to this season, and now the team really needs him, and so now this is his opportunity, and he went out and took it. I don't know if a guy can really have a similar storyline like that and come in and make their major league debut, give up a home run to Andrew McCutchen, who's been around forever, and then just all of a sudden just flip the script and say, you know what, that was that, but they signed me to come up here and get outs. And he got a lot of outs after that. That was five really strong innings for him. I know he feels good about it. And I know he made a mistake to McCutchen. He said, everyone told him, don't pitch him up and in. And sure as heck, you just missed on that very first pitch. And you can't blame him, man. It was his first major league pitch. But, man, did he settle down after that.
I mean, it was arguably his worst pitch of the night. I mean, he threw 90 on the inner third as William was, or rather Gary was set up away. He just completely missed his spot against a big league hitter, and big league hitters hit mistakes. I loved what I saw from the cutter. He didn't get a ton of swings and misses today, but if you allow me to nerd out here for a second, we saw some really uncomfortable swings against some fastballs today as far as, man, how did I miss that, or how did I only foul that ball off? He had 8 foul balls on the four-seam fastball today, and then he also had 4 whiffs on that pitch too. He's got one of those high-spin fastballs that really carries its way to the plate, a la Freddy Peralta. And that's something that this Brewers lab, like you mentioned, identified and toyed with and fixed for him to make him a little bit more deceptive. And when he's pairing an elevated fastball with that hammer of a curveball and hammer of a slider, you could see what he can develop into. Now, he's not really a young pup anymore, if you will. Like you said, he's bounced all over the place. But maybe, just maybe, with a little bit more seasoning, a little bit more refinement as he learns what it takes to get big league hitters out, he's still only turning 26 this year. He's been around the block. I see a lot of building blocks here that say, okay, this guy can learn to stick around for a little bit and plenty of tools to keep me excited.
Well, I think the one thing that I like about him, you know, just watching him pitch and then listening to him talk with the media, he's you can tell he's not 20 years old or 21 years old. He is 25 going on 26 here pretty soon, and he's got a lot of poise. His disposition's really good. I mean, who doesn't want a pitcher out there whose disposition is calm and his demeanor is, you know, it's just locked into what he needs to do. You know, this guy has obviously a great capability of following whatever game plan they've got against whatever team he's going to pitch against. I think there's such an enormous amount of plus side here. It makes me want to ask the question, you know, how hasn't he been here yet? Or were they seriously considering him, you know, at any point towards the end of last year as well? But as it turned out, timing is everything. And right now they desperately need somebody that is going to pitch, perform, and get results. And right now he's one for one in that category. So you can't ask for anything more.
Hey, man, let me give you a funny quip here from the clubhouse. This is from Jake Krause of MLB.com. He's filling in for Adam McAlvey this week. Asked Tobias Myers if he got any good advice before his MLB debut. It proved true on the first pitch. So it's a funny story, quote now from Tobias. Andrew McCutchen actually grew up in Polk County, Florida, which is where I'm from. That's like Central Florida between Orlando and Tampa. And all the older coaches who had the pleasure to coach him also told me, don't throw heaters into him. And then he goes yard,
right.
Of course, on the first pitch of the game. So that made me chuckle, and maybe it helped him settle down. But he was certainly not the reason for today's loss for the Brewers. We're just getting going. Craig Kishon's with us for one more segment. 1-800-990-3776 if you want to join the program by text or by call. 1-800-990-3776. More here on Brewers Extra Innings on ESPN Milwaukee.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers fall 2-1 tonight. All right. Now we got to get real for a little bit with Craig Kishon. I'm Dominic Catronio. But a reminder that summer is right around the corner. Now through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering $1,500 off Central Air Systems. You can schedule an appointment today at SEIDER.com. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. All right, Craig, we've talked about the fact that Christian Yelich is missing. We've talked about a lot of good. What's going on with Jackson? I mean, Jackson, this is, in my opinion, this is the growing pains. This is what everyone's been warning you about ever since the beginning of spring training, ever since the moment he signed the dotted line. He is 20 years old in the big leagues, and other teams are making the adjustment to him. Now it's his turn to make the adjustment back to the pitching and what he's seeing. He went 0 for 3 with 3 strikeouts today on 10 pitches. I imagine he's going to get a day off tomorrow and learn a little bit more. What are you seeing from Jackson Chourio?
Well, I think really in this series in particular, I see him pressing. I think that he obviously has cooled off quite a bit in the last week or so, but he's still, I think, during that time up until now, been able to come up, you know, with something somewhat clutch of a hit, at least driving still a run in, drawing a walk, that type of thing, just to, you know, pass the baton type of situation and just keep something going. But I think his slump kind of coincides with what's happening with the rest of the team here right now. But more importantly, it's hard not to look at all the things that you just mentioned as well, that this is his first month in the big leagues. And there isn't a soul that's ever put on a baseball uniform and even played this game for up to 20 years or more that didn't go through what he's going through right now and do it multiple times. So this is part of the you got to be patient game. And this is also part of, you know, for the organization, those that are around him that are responsible for his hitting is to, you know, not stuff his head with too much here right now and kind of let him be who he is, but at the same time also helping him along. So it's certainly not a delicate situation yet, and it's certainly not panic time yet. But, you know, you only learn when you fail, and so he's going through a failing stretch right now, clearly, but you have all the confidence he's going to bounce back.
I mean, I'm just looking at a variety of players right now, and Christian Yelich, for example, when he was a big leaguer just arriving on the scene back in, what was that, 2013, if I'm not mistaken? Yeah, 2013. As a young pup, his first 20 games went okay. You know, he's in .277. His OPS was below 700, but nothing really to sniff at as a, you know, young kid in the big leagues. Then over his next 13 games, he fell down to .177 and an OPS under 600. So there is ebbs and flows to a long career, and I will repeat the line that Pat Murphy said during spring training that will resonate with me for the next couple of years, is that the Brewers didn't sign Jackson Chourio for this season. This isn't some one and done, let it fly and see what you get. No, they signed him for down the road. And of course, everybody wants down the road, the destination, to be here sooner as opposed to later. But there's a lot going on. He's 20 years old. Every reason to let him get his feet wet. It's only April. He made a very nice defensive play today in center field, even though he's the right fielder. I'm just monitoring what's going on with Jackson. If we see him play even tighter and even more stressed out, that's when I'll start to be like, might need to get some confidence back from him. But I still really do believe in the kid. Another guy, Sal's been getting platooned with Joey Weimer since Joey arrived. Neither one of them have really been going in the last few days. I'm not worried about Sal all that much. Willy Adames, I had this great note today earlier, Craig, and Willie's having a great start to the season, don't get me wrong. But the Brewers are now 2-5 in games that Willie does not have a hit in, whereas they're 12-3 in games that he does. Seems pretty simple, right? But Adames is going to go through little funks like he's in right now, and as we know, this team goes as Adames goes.
Yeah, that's a really good point for sure with Adames, and even William Contreras has been, you know, kind of quiet with the power and driving in runs here as well. I don't know. I think you can go up and down this lineup a little bit, but I think the bottom line is when you do that, what's the end result of all this? It's everyone's kind of going through a tough run here right now, and the thing that I appreciate of what Pat Murphy, and I know he relies on his coaching staff too to help make out the lineup, we're not seeing through this little mini slump the same guys in the same spot in the order like we have been used to seeing in the past. I think it's great that they know that Jackson Chourio is going through, you know, his first true slump of his young career, and they put him at the top of the lineup tonight. I mean, No one else is doing anything significant. They need some kind of a spark, and who's to say that he wouldn't have provided that for you tonight? And so they move him around a little bit. Everyone kind of has moved around a little bit, except Contreras and Adames. I mean, Adames has been bumped up to the number three spot since Yelich went out. But after that, it's, you know, they're looking at some matchups, and they're looking at where guys are going to be, you know, more helpful, you know, from game to game. And I think that's the smart thing to do. I think these players appreciate that. So, yeah, to a man, every one of these guys is having a rough go of it. That's for sure. And those who are getting on, it's not a white hot streak. It's not a power streak either right now. So they're struggling.
The good news is, though, the bullpen pretty fresh after today. Abner would certainly be available for tomorrow. I'd argue that Jared Koenig would probably be available tomorrow as well. And you've got Bryce Wilson, Billy, as Pat Murphy calls him, on the mound. And if Bryce turns in another four-plus innings like he did last week against San Diego, if he can go five and start stretching himself back out into a traditional starter, I'd be fired up. But, I mean, four or five innings, all I'm really asking for out of Bryce Wilson tomorrow, and hopefully the offense can get him some run support to get him going. Tomorrow's a really important day for the Brewers' rotation to try to get itself back on track and create some semblance of five or six guys that they can rely on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, you know, before Tobias Myers made his debut today, I mean, you almost look at I was actually a little surprised today to see there that the Brewers put Wilson in for tomorrow already today and have Freddie in for Thursday already today, when it seemed like things were pretty in flux. And it makes me think, you know, will Wilson stay in the rotation for a little bit till they figure this out? They're obviously not going to have Wade Miley for some time here now, with him just going on the injured list yesterday, and who knows, you know, what the future holds for him. So they're I don't want to say they're in dire straits with their starting pitching, but they kind of are if they're going to figure out, can they do this within the organization and keep a good starting rotation together before they consider making a move going to the outside. But I would love to see, you know, Bryce give you five innings tomorrow, just like Myers did, and keep the score close, keep it low, and see if the offense can help him out a little bit.
It would be very important to get runs early, maybe even score first and get a little downhill tomorrow. That's something to look out for. Same time and same place, 5:40 first pitch Central Time. But we'll be back over on WTMJ tomorrow, of course, with the Bucks being idle. But, Craig, you don't take a day off. You'll be back with us again tomorrow. Appreciate you joining the show, as always. Get some rest. We'll chat with you again tomorrow afternoon.
All right. Sounds good, Dom.
All right, Craig Keyshawn here on ESPN Milwaukee. Take a breather. We can take a look around the out-of-town scoreboard. How do the rest of the Central do tonight? The Brewers lose 2-1. They're now 14-8. On the young season. Take a breather. Come back with more after this on ESPN Milwaukee.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
All right, Brewers fall. Of course, the Pirates win another game in the division. The Pirates are 13-11, and I believe a certain radio host was saying to take the Pirates seriously this year. They've got some serious pitching, and oh, by the way, Paul Skeens isn't even up yet. Last year's number one overall pick. Paul Skeens will be in the big leagues. We will see Paul Skeens probably pitching a game against the Brewers this year. So it's not going to be getting any easier against the Pirates, just as a heads up. A couple other games happening in the Central. The Reds got back on track. They defeated the Phillies after getting shut out yesterday. The Reds beat the Phillies 8-1 today. They are also at 13 wins at 13-10. The Cubs were beaten up on the Astros. They scored 5 runs in the first, and they now lead 6-2 in the top of the 8th inning. Houston's about to fall to the worst record in the American League that isn't the Chicago White Sox. Is this alarming? Are we worried about this? Are we monitoring this? Do we understand what is happening to the Houston Astros? They're about to fall to 7-17. Very odd. The only other game in the Central, of course, the Cardinals. What are they doing? Oh, they're getting beat up by the Diamondbacks. In fact, that game is about to go final. 14-1 in the bottom of the 8th inning. And to make matters worse, Wilson Contreras, not ours, Wilson Contreras, exited that game due to injury. So not good vibes out in the Lou after they hit the walk-off home run yesterday. Arizona's beating up on them 14-1 today. Elsewhere, the White Sox might win a game. The White Sox are up 5-4. They're in the top of the ninth in Minnesota. A crazy game there as Minnesota scored first. Chicago responded with three in the fourth. Both teams traded two in the eighth, but one more from Minnesota in the seventh. So it's 5-4 White Sox trying to get their fourth win of the season. Yep, they are 3-19. Michael Kopech back in the bullpen did not pitch well. Eric Fetty pitched pretty well, though. So it'll be up to the ninth inning to see if the White Sox, who as a team are hitting 191, whereas Twins not much better. They're at 202, but maybe the White Sox can finally get one back on track. Angels leading the Orioles 2-0 thanks to Mike Trout batting leadoff for the first time since 2020. Trout hit his ninth homer of the year, a leadoff shot off of Grayson Rodriguez. And since I started talking about that score, they just added on another couple of runs. It's now 3-0 thanks to an RBI single from Zach Neto. Julio Rodriguez finally hit his first home run of the year. 4-0 over the Rangers right now for the Mariners. Rockies leading the Padres. It's 5-4 in the bottom of the fourth, a classic Coors game. And the Giants and Mets are scoreless right now out in San Francisco. They're in the bottom of the second inning. And also Shohei Ohtani hit a ball that still hasn't landed today as the Dodgers beat the Nats by a 4-1 final. Ohtani hit the hardest ball of the year, 118 miles an hour off the bat, 450 feet for a home run. He's already passed Hideki Matsui. It was his seventh of the year, most home runs hit by a Japanese-born player. Now he is just two away from passing his manager, Dave Roberts, for the most in Dodgers history in a single career. That's the out-of-town scoreboard. Up next, we're going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy. Take a breather. Come back with more after this on ESPN Milwaukee. And it's really to no fault of tonight's starting pitcher, Tobias Myers, making his big league debut. Here's what the manager had to say about Tobias and everything else in today's contest.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. He gave us more than we expected. He was poised. Really. I think he rose to the occasion. We just didn't give him any support. But, it was a great performance. Really happy for the kid. Really happy for the kid. It was great.
You talked about needing the command. Other than that 12-pitch walk, did he show you enough?
Oh, yeah. No question. This kid, he picked us up big right there. You know, we're reeling a little bit because of injuries and inexperience. And with all those pitchers down, for this kid to come in and make his major league debut and do what he did against a fairly veteran team and a team that's done really well early in the season. That's on the road, really, really good.
First pitch home run in your big league career as a pitcher. Do you worry at all about the moment speeding up on a guy or, getting flustered in that situation?
Because
he did the opposite.
Yeah, I think sometimes getting punched early is probably a good thing, to be quite honest with you. But I see what you're saying, and then that can actually happen. But I think sometimes getting punched early wakes you up, and you kind of become your true self. And I think that said it all, what he did the next, 15 outs.
Valtteri throwing over 70% four-seamers. Why do you think – I know you talked a little bit pregame about the role he's been on, but why do you think that was particularly effective tonight?
I mean, he was up in the zone, effectively up in the zone, and it's a tough pitch to hit, and kid deserves a lot of credit. He pitched masterfully. He did well. Catcher did well for him. I wasn't very, very pleased on our approach, and I wasn't very pleased on how we attacked him, but we had an opportunity to score first and third, no out, I believe. Normally we would, but it didn't happen. So, again, we're dealing, you go down our lineup, you're dealing with five guys that are pretty young. I guess it's going to happen.
What was it about the approach that you didn't like?
Well, I felt like we made a lot of early outs, early in the count outs that, it happens. It's not so much I didn't like it, it's just that it happens. We hit a line drive, it gets caught. Take a first pitch strike or swing at the first pitch, make first pitch out. I think we made four first pitch outs. It's hard, and if those are hits, I'm not complaining. So it's just part of the, when you lose a 2-1 ball game, you look back and you say, man, we could have gotten their pen a little earlier.
When a pitcher's rolling like that and getting those kinds of quick outs, how hard is it to create the kind of pressure that you guys have done a good job of doing?
Well, it's pitch to pitch. You know, it's that's how you do it. You do it pitch to pitch, and you win an at bat, you win pitches, and then all of a sudden you're in business. But I think we're once again, there's 20 how many games we've played, 22 games. We've been in all of them. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that. But I'd like to come out on top of some of these.
Was pinch hitting for Cheerio strictly right-left, or was it baseball on the kind of the swings he had earlier in the game?
It's never all right-left. It's the best matchup at that time to give us the best chance to win. Bowers had a chance right there. I think it was a better chance than Jackson right then. He's still learning. He's going through a little bit of a tough stretch. And I think that was the right thing to do.
Make another one?
He certainly made a case for himself. I think we got to sit back and see how he comes out of this one. And I thought that was really impressive.
Was there anything on Wade?
Yeah, he got the MRI today, and he's going to get an evaluation. I think he'll have it by tomorrow.
So
didn't get it today.
Still no results.
Didn't get it today. Didn't get the opinion today that he wanted from a guy in Cincinnati. Klimchek.
Is
it? He just didn't get the opinion.
Yeah, they got the images in here in the afternoon, sent it to him, and he hasn't received it back.
That's something certainly to monitor, and we'll probably know more by tomorrow's post-game show on Wade Miley. And to finish a thought that Pat Murphy was talking about, I had three outs that were on the first pitch, but also six outs on two pitches or less. A lot of early outs, and even more with three pitches or less. So something to monitor for that one. We'll have a few highlights of plays we relive and give you the recap coming up next. Brewers fall 2-1 here on ESPN Milwaukee. All right. It was a loss, but there are highlights. Let's go ahead and relive it.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Always exciting for a Major League debut. Tobias Myers on his fifth organization in his professional journey. His ERA was over 6 in AA last year. The Brewers have made him into a success story. And, well, he didn't exactly get off onto the right foot tonight.
The first time as a major leaguer, and first pitch to Andrew McCutchen is hit in the air down the left field line, inside the pole and gone. Andrew McCutchen, homer to lead off the bottom of the first yesterday. He does it again today. His third home run of the season and the first pitch of Tobias Myers' career.
Lane Grindle on the call. But I will say, he settled down and he proved it two batters later. He got Reynolds to pop out on the very next pitch. Then Key Brian Hayes within the box got ahead of him 0-2 and checked a very important box.
0-2 pitch. That is in there for a strike. And there's the first strikeout of Myers' career. Strikes out Hayes looking with a slider that caught the inside corner. An ortho ASAP strikeout. And a good bounce back so far after surrendering the solo home run.
That was huge for Myers, and he would really hit a groove later. The Brewers' offense was having trouble with Bailey Falter. He picked things up, though, in the third inning. Weimer led off with a single into left. Terang pulled a single into right. That put runners on the corners with nobody out in the top of the order. Cheerio would strike out, though. Then William Contreras was at the plate. During his at-bat, Terang stole second, a perfect 11-for-11 at that point. So now, your best hitter at the plate, second and third, only one out, and William does this.
Falter with a 1-1. Chopped right back to the mound. Breaking for the plate is Weimer, fielded by Falter, and he'll get Weimer in a rundown as he flips to the catcher, Bart. Running back to third is Joey. Key Brian Hayes now throws it back to the pitcher, Falter, and Falter tags out Weimer for the second out of the inning.
Contact play was on, Josh Maurer on the call, and the threat would be quickly thwarted. So nothing for the Brewers. They're still trailing 1-0. But meanwhile, Myers was doing really, really well. He got out of a threat in the second inning, leaving two men stranded there. Worked around a leadoff single in the third from McCutchen. Got a caught stealing, a clutch one in the fourth from Gary Sanchez behind the plate. That ended the fourth scoreless. And then finally in the fifth, his final inning of work, he got revenge on Andrew McCutchen.
3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Beat him with a fastball at 94 off the outside corner. And Tobias Myers threw five strong innings here in Pittsburgh.
Five innings, four hits, one run. It was earned, of course, on the homer. One walk and four strikeouts. 83 pitches for Tobias. Unfortunately, a tough luck loss for him. The Brewers' offense really quiet the rest of the game, but one highlight from the offensive side came in the eighth, finally breaking through against Bailey Falter. It was the Kraken, Gary Sanchez.
2-1. Sanchez, a high drive out to left. Racing back is Sawinski. Bye-bye, baseball. Gary Sanchez with his second home run of the season, and the Brewers are on the board. It's 2-1 Pirates.
One of only three hits on the night for the Brewers. Not going to win many games when you do that. They were 0-22, batters 1-6 in the order. 2-1 was the final score today. The winning pitcher for the Pirates was Bailey Falter. The loser, of course, Tobias Myers. David Bednar gets his third consecutive save. We'll wrap up the program. Look ahead at tomorrow after this here on ESPN Milwaukee. All right, let's get ready to say goodnight. Tomorrow, Bryce Wilson gets the ball for the Brewers. He pitched very well last week in the bullpen game by design on Wednesday against the Padres. This will be his second start of the year. He went 3 2/3 last week into the fourth, of course. Two hits, no runs, one walk, a pair of strikeouts. He also threw over the weekend against the Cardinals. He earned the win. That game was on Saturday, an inning and a third. Did not allow a base runner. He's been solid this year. 2-0 record, 3.29 ERA, 5 earned runs in 13 2/3 innings, 12 strikeouts, and only 2 walks. I'm excited to see what Bryce Wilson can do tomorrow. Josh Fleming will get the ball tomorrow. Looks like they are going to go in a different direction with an opener tomorrow for the Pirates, as Fleming will start the game and then maybe give away to somebody who's a bit more bulk. He threw an inning on Sunday against the Red Sox. And, you know, sometimes you got to get a little funky and figure things out. As the Pirates are trying to win a series tomorrow, the Brewers are trying to take their first step to splitting a series on the road against the Pirates. It's only the second time all year that they have lost, the Brewers that is, lost back-to-back games, whereas the Pirates are just now getting over a six-game losing streak. And then on Thursday, it'll be a day game, 11:35, first pitch Central Time. It will be Mitch Keller getting the ball for the Pirates and Freddie Peralta getting the ball for the Brewers, which would set up for the Yankees, Colin Ray on Friday, Joe Ross on Saturday, and then probably TBD on Sunday. Maybe it would be Tobias Myers. Maybe it would be somebody else being called up. Who knows? That's all to be figured out. And all eyes and ears will be on the results of Wade Miley's MRI. We will probably hear that news tomorrow. Maybe we'll learn a little bit more about Christian Yelich. A reminder, yes, the offense is in a scuffle right now without Yelich, but there are reinforcements on the way between Yelich, between Garrett Mitchell, between guys like the back of the bullpen getting better, Devin Williams getting better. I imagine we'll see D.L. Hall again at some point this season. And there is enough, not a lot, there's enough depth, I bet, to survive for these next few games, but obviously things are getting real very, very quickly for the Brewers, because they go finish these two in Pittsburgh, three at home against the Yankees, three at home against the Rays, finally get another off day. Then they go down to Chicago to take on the Cubs, and they've been playing very good baseball. Of course, that will be a charged first regular season matchup between Cubs and Brewers down at Wrigley Field. Then after that series, the Brewers will go on the road to one of the better teams in baseball, the Kansas City Royals. And they've been the surprise of the American League, how great they have been playing. Something to certainly monitor. That is in the first week of May. Then they're finally back home for a four-game homestand with the St. Louis Cardinals, home for the Pirates again. And then they go right back on the road for the Houston Astros in mid-May. So they've got an off day, alternating Thursdays coming up. Not this Thursday, but next. Then they won't have one on the 9th. They'll have one again on the 16th. They'll have one again on the 23rd. And then it'll be a little easier to manage this pitching staff as they deal with all the injuries they have been dealt. Again, tomorrow, same time, same place. Back over, though, on WTMJ. And thanks to everybody over on ESPN Milwaukee for letting us hang out in here. I know a lot of folks probably watching the Bucks game. And if you're listening on the podcast, much appreciated. Tell your friends. Leave a rating. leave us a review. It helps more than you realize, honestly. Brewers All Access is the name of the feed. Tell your friends, and we can have you here all season long. Well, that's going to do it for us here on ESPN Milwaukee. My thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us for all of his analysis as well. I'll be with you again tomorrow on Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ after the game as well. My thanks to our producer, Chris Larson, for helping out here on this side of the studio. I'm Dominic Catronio. Until tomorrow, keep on swinging.